Graham had an interesting wine experience in the Barossa Valley recently. Yes, he drank some wine, and it's all purely in the name of editorial research.
I swear, it was.
But he also got the chance to try and create the famous award-winning Wolf Blass Black Label. This is a blended red wine, retails for well over $100 a bottle, and as we discover, Graham came very close to getting the recipe correct, blending four different wines. So maybe there is a chef in you after all. He speaks to Wolf Blass brand ambassador Simon Blackett.
Hi Graham, how are you going?
Yeah, pretty good. We had a bit of fun there the other week. I guess the short form of it was that we were trying to make your premium black label wine, the Wolf Blass Black Label, as it's called. It's a blended red, and you gave us some hints, but at the end of the day, we had to make our own decisions about what the percentages were. Perhaps you could just explain to me a little bit about Wolf Blass, and then we might talk about this particular exercise.
Okay, what, just sort of about the history of how Wolf Blass started?
Wolf Blass himself obviously started the business, didn't he?
Yes, Wolf, of course, was an immigrant into Australia, came here in 1961, and he actually came here to make cheap, sweet, sparkling wine on a three-year contract. Then he actually went out as Australia's first consultant winemaker, and he was a consultant to several large Australian wine companies at the time, and then in 1966 he actually settled down and created the Wolf Blass brand.
He was certainly a character. I do remember in the very, very early days that he was a flamboyant chap. You told a story, I hope it's true, that he used to like to go to the airport.
Oh, Wolf was just such a character. I mean, and that's part of the success story of Wolf Blass was certainly his self-promotion, if you like. Exactly. He would go in the early days. He would go to Adelaide Airport, sometimes even if he wasn't flying that day.
Yeah.
And he would walk up to the counter and ask, oh, can you please page Mr. Wolf Blass for me? And of course, over the loudspeaker in the airport, it would be paging Mr. Wolf Blass, paging him. And then he'd jump up and make a big fanfare of it. I'm Wolf Blass, and come running up to the, and people are looking around going, oh, there's Wolf Blass, oh, I've heard of him. And I mean, he was just a fantastic self-promoter, and that's certainly one of the success stories of Wolf Blass.
He's a character, there's no doubt about it. And they used to say that he was a sort of a master chemist. It was almost a derogatory term in the sense that he was blending wine. Is that how you saw it initially? Was there a bit of negativity about what he was doing?
There was, I guess, in the beginning. We're talking in the 60s. I mean, the white wine boom was just hitting. Australians certainly were a big beer-swilling nation. Wine was just sort of new to the front, I guess, and the white wine boom hit. And Wolf, when he first came out, he was just tasting many, particularly red wines, and they were quite firm and almost a bit extracted and harsh and coarse in those early days. So, I mean, he looked around and identified certain regions. I mean, Langhorne Creek is certainly a region that stands out for Wolf Blass because it has beautiful colour, fantastic flavour, but a little bit more of a softness of tannin. And so he just started to use that to blend back with his Barossas and his McLaren Vale reds and make something that was, while it was still aged extremely well, it was more approachable at a younger age. And I guess that was another success, a point that led to the success of Wolf Blass.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously it can't all be promotion. Someone's got to put their lips to the glass ultimately. And but he read the market well.
Yes, I mean, fantastically well. And marketing, I guess, was another big area where Wolf, nowadays you'd say, give him the big tick. I mean, you imagine back to the 60s, and if you invited somebody out to dinner or whatever, and you go, oh, hang on. And then when you're actually in the restaurant, you go, oh, I suppose I should, or a bottle of wine. And in those days, it doesn't sound anything now, but in those days it was, oh, can I have a bottle of that Cabernet, say, of Vignon / Merlot? And it all became, it was just hard because we just didn't understand wine. So Wolf made it simple. He had the eagle as his logo. Wolf Blass, a short, very easily remembered name. But the main thing was he put it into colour tiers. So people would go into a restaurant and say, oh, please, can I have a bottle of Wolf Blass Yellow Label Cabernet? Or just Wolf Blass Yellow Label, that was it.
Yeah.
And then, and you'd order a bottle of wine. Nowadays, I mean, obviously, it's not as important. But back then, he was a very forward thinker. And again, I think that's another big tick for Wolf's early successes.
Yeah, and you said to me, he's still going great guns. He's 82 or 83 and living in Adelaide.
Yes, he turns September the 2nd this year. He turns 83, if I remember. Yes, 83 he turns.
Wow.
He's absolutely fit. He's still very active, very motivated. Yeah, very energetic man.
Does he go to the office still?
He has his own office in town, of course, that he manages his own portfolio and also looks at all things to do with Wolf Plus Wines as well.
Hmm. But he sold out of it, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, to be realistic, he sold in 1991. He sold to Mildara, and that's when the corporate company Mildara Plus was formed.
Yep.
But Wolf certainly was still very, very active in the international ambassador. Which Wolf has been doing up until very recent times.
Fantastic. Now let's just talk about the exercise that we went through, and perhaps also you could explain to the listeners that the way that Wolf Plus make the premium black label red wine is a little different to some other winemakers. You actually grow and age and mature the four individual ingredient wines separately and then blend them virtually at the end.
Yes, I mean, specifically for Wolf Plus Black Label, I mean, that is a multi-regional, multi-varietal blended wine.
Right.
It's basically the selection of the best barrels that we make at Wolf Plus every year. So realistically, it's sort of the best wine that we can make at the winery from that year.
Right.
And it generally is a Cabernet, Shiraz, and a little bit of Malbec put in there as well. But it can be, I guess the last few years, it tends to be from three major regions, I guess, within South Australia.
Right, and you gave us a tip on those, didn't you?
Yes, I mean, of course, Black Label is normally a Cabernet-based wine.
Mm.
And, of course, Cabernet is all about... Well, not all about, but a lot of Cabernet is about structure, a lot of tannin.
Mm.
The same as if you make a cup of tea and you get caught on a phone call and you forget about it and you taste it later and you go, oh, a bit of tannin on there. It's the same type of thing. Cabernet has quite a bit of tannin, but it has beautiful flavour, so it provides the backbone, if you like, for the wine. So if the major point is Cabernet, then Shiraz is all about that mid-palate richness. It's really full in the mouth, very intense in the mouth.
Mm.
So if you use Cabernet as your base and then fill out the mouth, if you like, with Shiraz, and then throw in a little bit of Malbec at the end for complexity. Now, Malbec has insane colour. The colour is just so vibrant and crimson that just keeps the vibrancy of colour in a wine. And also a little bit different fruit flavours, I guess. Malbec's quite different, as in it's more almost blueberries and mulberries as opposed to the Shiraz and Cabernet that are more the black fruits.
Once you pointed that out, we could taste that, but we weren't cultured enough in the palate to identify it straight off. But we were able to agree with you.
Right, yes. No, that was good. And, of course, that's what wine's all about.
I mean,
you just enjoy what you've got in the glass. Or, of course, you don't enjoy what's in the glass. But Black Label being our flagship wine, it's very interesting. I know winemaker Steve Frost is the senior winemaker at Wolf Plus, and, of course, my boss, Chris Hatcher, is the chief winemaker. And, I mean, they'll start with, along with other, there are other Wolf Plus winemakers. We've got Marie Clay and Claire Dry and John Ashwell. They might actually start tasting 200 components of wine, and then they'll pull maybe 12 to 15 glasses forward that they think just stand out, and they look like they're that Black Label style, intense, rich, and yet still some elegance to the wine, and obviously potential for aging. So they'll pull those 12 or maybe even 15 samples or glasses forward, then maybe have a little break again, then go back and look at those 12 to 15, and then maybe eventually cull it down to sort of maybe eight parcels, and then those eight parcels will become Black Label for that year. But I guess what we also do at Plus a little bit differently, everything gets aged and kept separate. Just before bottling is actually the first time we put any blend together, because by then, hopefully, the wines in the barrels have shown their true self. And hopefully we can get a more accurate premium blending result.
So we presented ourselves to the room that you'd set up, and there was four glasses of this constituent wine. There was the glass of the black label as the sort of master product. We had to try and match.
There
was
a,
there was a beaker, and there was a I think it was a spittoon and a glass of water and a sheet of paper in which we would write the percentages of our blend. And I worked with the girl opposite me at the table, and we sort of said, right, we've now got two lots of mixing we can do, and we can taste each other's and see how close we get. Now, we got to within 5%, but someone else in the room actually got it on the knocker, so to speak. Well, that's how you know, that's as close as you prepared to go without giving away the secret herbs and spices.
That was great to see, actually. That's, and also, Graham, too, I noticed that at the end of the tasting, your spittoon was still dry.
Yeah, I know. I swallowed everything. Absolutely. Why spit it out? Now, you do this for people who come to the centre there in the Barossa. How many people do you need to do it, and what sort of dollars are involved? Obviously, this is great wine. You're not giving it away.
Exactly. We use the four components. We work on a minimum of six people.
Okay.
So we certainly can do it for six and over. To be honest, it does. The more people in a room, the more buzz, the more excitement there is in the room.
What did we have, 20 or something?
Group is better.
We had about 20, I think, didn't we? And
That's good. That's
well.
A good size group.
Yeah.
Yes. And then you put together those four components. So with the at the moment we're blending together the 2016 Black Label, which is Cabernet, Shiraz and Malbec again. And you had the four components. You've got Langhorne Creek Cabernet, Barossa Valley Cabernet, McLaren Vale Shiraz and Langhorne Creek Malbec. And by blending, I think you saw when you tasted it, and just even if you just altered things by 5, 10, 15%, you'd notice quite a bit of difference in the glass, and obviously the object, the fun, if you like, of putting together. So it is a realistic type of exercise of what the winemakers go through. So really, you're putting the Cabernet again as the base, and then Shiraz fill it out with some beautiful richness, mid palate intensity of Shiraz, and then just a little bit of that Malbec to add. Something a little bit different and obviously a little bit of colour and slightly different flavours. But it's great fun. It's a really good, enjoyable exercise. Everybody that does it says they thoroughly enjoy it. And at the same time, while it's meant to be fun, it is quite sort of, I hate to say it, but educational as well.
I absolutely agree. And look, we all, to a man and woman, chatted about it in the bus later, and we really, really did enjoy it.
That's Graham Camelot speaking with Simon Blackett of Wolf Blass Wines.
And do you know that little gremlin we had? You know what it was?
It's back, yep.
It was a semicolon. We had a semicolon in the spelling of that of Simon Blackett's name, and the system didn't like it and said it's not a feed-and-come file. You've put a funny character in. So this is when computers start